In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ephatha. I imagine, or I believe probably most of us would not recall the first time that we heard that word, or at least the contents of what that word means. Be opened. Ephatha. Because most of us were probably little babies in the hands of our parents or our godparents on our baptismal day, when after the baptism we had the secondary rites of the sacrament, the lighting of the candle, the white garment, the anointing on the head, and then the priest touched our ears and said, Jesus, who opened the ears of the deaf and the mouth of the dumb, may he soon open your ears to hear his word and proclaim it. Ephatha. On the day of our baptism, having been transformed into temples of the Holy Spirit, having been freed of our sin, we are called to receive this gift, this word of God, and to proclaim it with our lives. In the scriptures today, we see the prophet Isaiah speaking of how the Lord will come to heal us. Thus says the Lord, to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. And then it speaks of how the Savior will open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, the lame will leap like a stag, and the tongue of the mute will speak. And then we see Jesus fulfilling this prophecy today in the gospel as he takes this deaf mute and touches his ears and his tongue and says, Ephatha, be opened, be healed, receive the gift that I have deigned to give you of your salvation. He comes to save you. And yet, it's not just the physical healing that is prophesied here, or the physical healing of this man that is important to us in this gospel. Imagine for this man what it must have meant. All his life, deaf and mute, unable to have this interrelationship in a deeper sense with people, because in order to hear what they're saying and be able to express what he has inside, a much greater effort it cost him. And now here it is, the Lord giving him new life, a new relationship, not only with God, but with others and with himself. I mean, imagine the joy in his heart to be healed. And yet it's not just the physical healing. This prophecy and this healing is to show us the greater depth of God's love for us, who wants to heal us in spirit and in soul, to wipe away the sin of our life and fill us with his grace and his power, which gives us new life. You know, you may be 20/20 vision or better and still be blind. You could have acute hearing that allows you to hear a pin drop in a crowded restaurant and still be deaf to the truth, to what really matters in life. You may have the eloquence that enthralls the crowds and yet never speak a word that is nothing more than nonsense. It's not just the Lazarus was risen from the dead in his full body. And yet that wasn't the miracle. That was the sign of the resurrection to new life, because Lazarus in his body died again. So it's more than just the external element that is being revealed to us here. It's the inner healing of our souls, of our hearts and our minds, and our turning back to God, our opening our eyes to see the truth and to adhere to it, our opening our ears to hear God's will in our lives and to adhere to his will. Are opening our mouths, not just our lips, but our lives, to proclaim from the heart this gift of God's love for us and for all peoples. This is the real miracle. This is the one that on our baptismal day was given to us when we were cleansed and filled with God's grace. And the priest in the place of Christ said, Ephatha, be opened, be healed, be filled. Allow me in you to transform you into me so that you can be complete as a human man or woman, as a son or daughter of God. Yesterday I celebrated a quinceañera mass. I'm sure most of you are probably familiar with what those are. In our Hispanic culture, the quinceañera, the 15-year-old girl, comes to the church with her family, no longer a child, but now a young adult, in order to make a commitment before God and the people to live her life as a daughter of God. And she renews her baptismal commitments. Now consciously, she herself rejects Satan and all his works and all his empty promises. And she professes her faith in Christ, in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and vows to live as a faithful daughter of God. And so it's really a beautiful sacred ceremony, which sadly many have lost the sacred sense of it, and it's more about the party and the dance after and the music and whatnot. But the reason for that party is because of what happens in the church as this young woman says, yes, I want to live my life in accordance with God's will. He has opened my ears and my heart and my lips to proclaim his glory in my life, and I want to do it as a responsible son or daughter of God. That's what is our baptism. It's Christ saying to us, Ephatha, be healed, be filled, be what you were called and created to be as a son or daughter of God. A marvelous gift of God's love, who wants to fill us with himself in this way so that we can be whole. And yet, how often have we closed our ears to the truth or our mouths to proclaim it out of fear or human respect? We find excuses to live a life that is contrary to what the Lord is asking of us because of our sinfulness. And I'm sure all of us are guilty of that in some way or another. In this second reading today, St. James, I invite you to take his letter, which is like just 4 or 5 pages long in the scriptures, and read the whole thing, because he really calls Christians to task to live our life according to God in all ways. But here he says, my brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in your glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, if a man has gold rings and fine clothes, don't give him preference over the one who is poor and in shabby clothes, but rather treat all with equal love. That's the message that he's giving us. And yet, how often in our lives do we close our ears to that reality of what God is asking of us in the scriptures? Jesus said, love others as I have loved you. And we should ask ourselves, do I? Because Jesus went to the cross to die for all, to save all from sin. That's why Paul says to Timothy, the will of the Father is that all be saved. And God has given himself until death for the salvation of every one of his children. Whether every one of his children respond to that in love is up to us freely. So we can be lost if we choose to be lost. Or we can be saved if we choose to adhere, be opened, be healed, listen to the word of God and practice it in our lives, struggling and falling and getting up and falling and getting up for as long as it takes, but never giving up, because he is the one giving us the grace. He comes to save you. And so we ask ourselves, am I listening and allowing the Lord to do that in me? Or am I deaf to his word? This man went to the hospital, went to the doctor, he had his doctor's appointment, and when he was done, he told the doctor, "Doc, I think my wife is going deaf." And the doctor said, "Well, here's something you can do. When you get home, when she's not aware you're there, just say something to her, and then keep getting closer and closer and repeat it until she responds." And so he got home, and his wife was at the kitchen sink washing the dishes and didn't see him come in, so he said, "Hi, honey, what's for dinner?" And she said, "Nothing." He couldn't hear. And so he said it again, a little closer. "Hi, honey, what's for dinner?" No answer. "Hi, honey," what? Several times, until he was right behind her. And he said, "Hi, honey, what's for dinner?" And she turned around and said, for the 11th time, "Meatloaf." The deaf one was him. How often am I the deaf one in my relationship with God or with others that I don't hear? And our deafness today can come from too much noise. You know, part of our deafness today is our earphones. We don't hear anything around us because we're constantly filled with noise. We don't listen to God as we should. And so he wants us to be open to his word, to adhere to his word. Not just to hear it, but to adhere to it. To allow it to transform us from within so that we can proclaim it, not just with our lips, but with our lives. And this is a task for every Christian, for every Catholic, for every son and daughter of God. Because he didn't come for some, he came for all. He came with vindication, with divine recompense. He came to save you. That means you and me and everybody. He has done his part. Am I willing to open my eyes and my ears and my heart to the Lord and allow him to transform me, to truly listen and do his will? It doesn't matter how old or how young. You know, sometimes parents think their children aren't hearing what's being said. Oh, children are like sponges. They hear a lot more. And usually they'll repeat everything mommy and daddy said, good or bad, later, right? Remember one time, I think I told you this story, my nephew, he was coming home from Mass, he was 4 years old, and he asked my mother, "Grandma, how do I take my heart out?" And she said, "Joe, why do you want to take your heart out?" He said, "Because the priest said, lift up your hearts to the Lord." And she said, "Joe, he didn't mean really take it out and lift it up. It was," and she explained to him the meaning of those words. But he was listening and hearing. He didn't understand in that moment at 4 years old what that meant, but he got it. He was hearing those words and allowing them to do something in his life. Do I hear and adhere to the word of God who has said to me, Ephphatha, Ephphatha, be open. And the ears were open and his mouth, his tongue was loosed and he spoke and proclaimed the glory of God. Or have I closed my ears to God? Or out of fear, held back from proclaiming his word, his will, his love to those around me? I think we have an invitation today, as that young girl did yesterday, to renew in ourselves our own baptismal commitment, to respond to that gift of salvation that has been given to us, and to share it with others without partiality, without that constant tendency we have to judge those around us, maybe not between rich or poor, but there's a lot of people in this world, maybe even in this church right now, that we don't like, or we dislike, or we see them as more or less, and we might treat them differently because of that pride within ourselves. Because we don't hear the Lord who says, I'm coming to save you and to save each one of you. And so I want to be a part of that and die to my selfishness and my pride and live for God and for others and seek to help those in need. He reaches out to the poor, to the blind, the deaf, the mute, the lame, the afflicted. Do I, no matter what that is, physical or spiritually, blind, lame, we all know someone in our life that needs us to reach out to them like Christ? Or do I spurn them, turn away, put a blind eye, not look, avoid doing the good that I am called to do as a son or daughter of God? It's so easy to point fingers. Don't forget, when you point, you got three more coming back at you. That's why I always point like this. No? Look at ourselves and ask. And I don't think any of us can say, yeah, I'm just fine. Don't lie to yourself. I'm not fine. Are you? We need to do more. We need to do better. We need to allow the love of Christ to transform us from within so that we can be the sons and daughters he wants us to be. Let's ask him in this Mass to fill us with his love and to say to us again, Ephatha, be opened, be healed. I have come to save you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.